I went into the doctor and he checked it out and said, yeah, you broke your leg. He said, but the problem is it's been 4 days and so it's starting to calcify. He said, if I left it, it will heal, but it'll heal crooked and you'll never have full use of that again. So I said, well, what do you have to do? He said, I have to re-break it. I said, well, that hurt? He said, no. He lied to me. He lied.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message entitled Peacemaker. When we left off yesterday, Pastor Wayne was talking about the importance of being peacemakers, but today he'll give us an idea of just exactly how we go about doing that. It's all about taking something that is wrong and making it right, no matter how painful. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Peacemaker.
How are you going to bring people to what's right? Because you don't know what's right. So then you will default to who's right and who's stronger. And that's why domestic abuse is so prevalent. Because who's right? I'm stronger. Well, if you go to what's right, then you must know the Word of God so that you can call all parties to what's right. And you become a peacemaker because you're getting things right that were wrong. And the result of that is an atmosphere of peace, because that's when relationships are right, vertically and horizontally. But you'll need to know what's right. I know when people don't know the Word of God, I don't care if they've been walking with the Lord, going to church for 40 years. I know they don't know what God's Word says. When push comes to shove, it's who's right. No, it's what's right. What's right. And men, we've been given the mantle, especially us, to initiate peace and begin to see what's right. Now, in the book of Numbers, to give you an example of this kind of authority that's a gracious, forward-moving authority, in Numbers chapter 30, we have a story where the Lord says to husbands, now, there's going to be times your daughter or your wife is going to make a rash vow or impulsive statement. And it doesn't come out of their heart. It comes out of their anger, maybe exasperation, maybe their tiredness, maybe their pain. But they're going to say something. And how many of us have said stuff that, oh, no, I didn't want to say that. There's going to be an impulsive set of words like, I want a divorce. I want out of this family. You take the kids in. I don't care. I'm out of here. And when you hear that, the Bible says, as husbands, you've been given spiritual authority to make that right, or make sure you correct it, or annul is the word, annul that phrase. And if you don't, it'll stand, or it will have permanent effects. But if you annul it and correct it right there, the Lord will forgive it and erase that. How many times have we made an impulsive, rash statement in the hearing of our kids? Let's say a father says, then I'm going to divorce you. I'm out of this place. And later on, he'll say, okay, all right, we'll work it out. But you know what stays in the ears and the hearts of the kids? That my dad may leave pretty soon. He threatened to do so. He came back this time, but I wonder when he will really leave. And it has permanent effects on people. How many times a wife might get exasperated and say, you take the kids and I'm out of here. Get out of here then, go. I'm leaving this family. And if you leave it like that, it's going to have permanent collateral damage on the children. And it has to be corrected. You know who God gives the authority to make that spiritual correction and erase that from having permanent scars? It's the husband. It's the husband. And don't be neutral. Use your authority to initiate making things right so that peace is restored. You can't stay neutral. If your wife says, that's it, I'm out of here. You can take the kids and you can, I don't care what you do, I'm leaving. And the husband says, Oh, that's your mother. Your mother just said that, not me. I don't know. I'm not touching that one with a 10-foot pole. Well, then all the kids, all of a sudden, there's that residual kind of fear that rests in their hearts, and it stays with them. And they're always now, from that point on, a bit unsure, a little ambivalent about the peace. There's no peace in their home after that. But the Bible says when you hear these words come out of your mouth, it says the husband needs to annul it. In fact, let's read that last part. I've given you some context on it. And let's read what Numbers 30 and verse 12 says. Go. But if her husband indeed annuls them on the day he hears them, then whatever proceeds out of her lips concerning her vows or concerning the obligation of herself shall not stand. Her husband has annulled them, and the Lord will Yeah, see, the husbands, you actually can use your authority to initiate peace. But if you see things, hear things in your home, and you just take a neutral stance, there's going to be permanent scars in the hearts of your children and your spouse. So use your authority to initiate or make things right. He said, well, where do you start? I mean, okay, I'd like to take this kind of steward, this kind of authority correctly, but where do you start? Real easy. Would you write in number three? Start by doing this. Look for evidences of his presence rather than his absence. Just start looking for evidences of his presence rather than evidences of his absence. Because you're going to see what you're looking for. If you come into this auditorium and you're looking for stains on the carpets, guess what you're going to see everywhere? Stains on the carpets. If you're looking for marks on the wall, what are you going to see everywhere? Yeah, if you're looking for bald head men, what are you going to see everywhere? Hairless people. Yeah, I tell you, you're just going to see what you're looking for. And if you're looking for flaws in people, guess what you're going to find everywhere? Flaws in people. And the same thing is true in marriages. If you're looking for flaws in your marriage, you're going to see flaws everywhere because there's no perfect wife. There's no perfect husband. Because Anna married the last one. There's just no perfect husband. That's it. But if we're looking for flaws, we're going to see them everywhere. So you've got to train your eyes to look and see evidences of his presence. Because if you're looking for evidences of God's presence on people's lives, you'll see it everywhere. In every person, there's something good. In every person, there is an attempt to try their best for God. There was a man in my office. And he was saying, oh, I messed up my marriage. I messed up my finances. I'm in a financial setback. I feel like such a worm. I've messed everything. I'm no good. Man, I am not even walking with God. My heart is so bad. Oh, man, I'm thinking about committing suicide. I just nothing left. I'm valueless. I'm worthless. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, if you had a bad heart, if you didn't have a heart for God, yeah, I don't have a heart for God, obviously. Look, I said, if you didn't have a heart for God, you wouldn't be sitting here, would you? You'd be out reveling in the mistakes that you made. But instead, you're sitting here in front of a pastor saying, how can I get my life together? You wouldn't be sitting in front of me asking my advice if your heart were that bad. You messed up not because you're evil. You messed up because you're frail and finite. And you make bad decisions. But God can take care of that if you're willing to learn and be a disciple of life and a disciple of Christ. But you're not worthless. If you were, you wouldn't be here. You've got a good heart. That's why you came. And that's why you're sitting in front of me. You see, in every single person, you got to look for what's good. And you know what? When you find what's good, it's the beginning of peace. It starts peace. Otherwise, it's war. They're fighting against themselves, fighting against the devil. But you find out what's good, and it's the beginning of peace. So you start by just training your eyes to see evidences of his presence. And when you see stuff that are false, understand, learn from it, but then drop it. Keep looking for the stuff that's good, because then you'll see good everywhere. He says that here in Psalms 109. Let's read it together. Go. He also loved cursing, so it came to him. He did not delight in blessing, so it was, yeah, he loved cursing, so it came to him. You will either be a magnet for curses or you'll be a magnet for blessing. It all depends what you're looking for. It says that in the very next verse here, rather in Proverbs 11. Let's read it. Go. If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, aha, it will find you. You know what it's saying? If I'm searching for evil, it's like I'm a vacuum for evil. It's going to find you. It's just sticking on you. Whoa, what's happening here? Well, because you're looking for evil, it's going to find you. It almost is like it senses that you're someone looking for evil and evil's going to attach to you. So the Bible says if you're looking for good, you're going to find favor. In other words, look for evidences of God's presence, and that will be the beginning of God's peace, the beginning of God's blessings. God's looking for peacemakers, people who will recognize the things which make for peace in our families, in our relationships, in our jobs, in our church. Just change your eyeballs and start looking for what makes for peace. Otherwise, you'll have a surfing crash or a problem on the freeway and we'll always be, but if you say, well, just look for the things of peace. What's going to make for peace? God will say, that's when you look most like your Father. Some of you might say, well, Wayne, I have a broken family. Our family didn't stay together. What do I do now? Well, listen to this. Listen carefully. You may be an ex-husband, because that's the society we live in. You might be an ex-husband, but you will never be an ex-dad. You can still be a peacemaker. And some of life's greatest blessings will come through peacemakers. Would you write that in your next bullet there? Some of life's greatest blessings has been given through peacemakers, promised through peacemakers. Some of life's greatest blessings. And we need to be those who say, Lord, I want to be a peacemaker. Let me tell you about the last verse in the Old Testament. The very last verse in the Old Testament, summarizing basically what God is trying to say, is really about peacemakers, restoring children to the fathers, fathers to the children. And then as it opens up the New Testament, you have the birth of Christ, who came as Emmanuel, who came as the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. So it talks about this. Here's the peacemaker coming to bring peace between man and God, Jesus Christ. The last verse of the Old Testament is going to talk about peacemaking in our homes. And it's almost as if the Lord is saying, if you want to foreshadow, if you want to represent well the peacemaker, then that's exactly what we must do. Be people who are peacemakers. And then it says something really interesting. It gives us a promise of a blessing. And if we reject it, it'll be a curse. Let's read it together. Last verse in the Old Testament. Go. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. Did you catch that? If fathers become peacemakers, the land will not be cursed. But if we refuse to, it will. Curse? Yeah. Like one of these old mythological curses? No. But the curse of this, if fathers' hearts aren't restored to children and children's hearts aren't restored to fathers, if we fathers don't become peacemakers, I'll tell you what will happen in this land. This land will have dysfunctional families, kids growing up weird with wrong kind of thinking. We'll have broken hearts and broken dreams. We'll have all kinds of dissension and division in our families. You think it's a curse? Think about it. You bet it is. And what God is saying is if we will look and know and recognize the things which make for peace in our own families, it'll usher in not a curse, but our land will receive a blessing. The blessing of peacemakers. He'll run it through. The seed sown in peace by those who make peace. And this land will be blessed because those who are peacemakers, making things right. Now, there's going to sometimes call for a little risk when you're a peacemaker. You see, peacemakers doesn't mean you're just saying, oh, whatever, live and let live. Peace, peace, peace. It's not like in the 70s hippies thing. No, it doesn't mean just whatever, whatever. No, peace is not making a truce with the devil. Peace is making things right so that the result is a sense or an atmosphere of peace because there's right relationships, not just covered over guilt, right relationships. And sometimes, dads, when it comes to that, you're going to have to discipline. I had to discipline my sons, my daughters, because they had things wrong in their relationship with their mother, and I had to make it right. But no, I'm not saying punish. I said discipline, because that's a part of discipling. It's a big difference. In fact, the scripture says in Proverbs 22, it says this, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline, not punishment, discipline will remove it far from him. Foolishness is what? Bound up. You know what that means? That means kids have a tendency to want to do wrong and think they can get away with it. It's foolishness because they don't understand the wages of sin is death. And so it's bound up in the heart of a child. But discipline will separate foolishness from that child and impart wisdom instead. That's why you see sometimes people 50 years old doing the most foolish things. They're just foolish. And you think, how come this 50, 60-year-old person is doing something so foolish? Probably because you rewind the tape at 5 or 6, they were not disciplined correctly to remove foolishness from them. Someone would say, yeah, my dad beat me. Well, that wasn't discipline, that was punishment. You see, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So that means discipline, it will be an expression of God's love. Not his anger, not his wrath, his love. So his love is expressed in discipline, just as a father disciplines his son, which means we must do the same thing if we're making things right. But sometimes we as fathers don't want to risk our kids not liking us for a little while. So we let things go only to allow foolishness to remain bound up. But sometimes you're going to have to make things a little bit ouch for a while to get things right. I remember when I broke my leg in a basketball game and I didn't get it go to the doctor because I just thought it was a bad sprain. But after 4 days when it was still swollen, it was a little crooked, I thought, man, I better get this thing checked out. So I went into the doctor and he checked it out and said, yeah, you broke your leg. He said, but the problem is it's been 4 days and so it's starting to calcify. So I said, well, it's starting to feel better, just leave it. He said, if I left it, it will heal, but it'll heal crooked and you'll never have full use of that again. The only way is I've got to set the bone from crooked to make it right. And then it will heal and you'll have full strength, if not more. So I've got to make it right. So I said, well, what do you have to do? He said, I have to re-break it. I said, well, that hurt? He said, no. He lied to me. He lied. He re-broke that thing back. Oh, I screamed. That was so sore. And then he put it back in. Ah, I was yelling. Man, my wife sometimes, you know, when she sees me in pain, she'll say, but you've never given birth. I gave birth that day. I gave birth. Man, did that thing hurt. But even though I hated that doctor for a moment, I will love him for a lifetime. Because today, I am so thankful that doctor set that thing right. And discipline is like that. You just got to do it. Now, it's not punishment. Let me tell you the difference. Discipline, remember, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. So discipline is motivated out of love, and it focuses on future character, what I can become. And if I leave you like this, foolishness will stay. Now, punishment, on the other hand, is motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed, which is sort of like, you did what? You did what, you dumb kid? Well, that's punishment. That's not discipline. It's motivated out of anger, and it focuses on a past misdeed. Whereas discipline is motivated out of love. I love you too much to let you think that what you just did is okay. Because if you think it's okay and you carry that into your employment or into your marriage, you will have major consequences up there. And I love you too much to allow that foolishness to stay in your heart. You are too good of a person to allow that to destroy you. And so sometimes you have to discipline with a rod of discipline, not a bat, a rod of discipline. And I had to do that with my kids. Oh, they don't like it. I remember once Aaron had stolen some stuff from a store and my wife called me and said, honey, you better take care of your kid, Aaron. He stole some stuff from the store. So I said, you tell Aaron, daddy is coming home. And he got so scared. He's just a little guy, about 6 years old. He runs into the room, puts like 3 pairs of bibbidis on under, and then puts his pants over. And so I came out,
Dad,
and said to him, all right, hey,
Dad.
You. Hey,
Dad.
What? Hey, you interrupted.
If you're going to tell the story, you got to tell it right. Okay?
I am. I'm telling
the
story.
No. Let me tell it. Okay.
What?
I got this, Dad.
Hey.
No worry about it. I get him.
I'm going to tell your mother.
Okay. You got to tell him right. Go ahead.
Hey, honey, I'm telling your mother.
No, okay.
You interrupted me.
Okay. All right.
Hey, honey. Anna.
So, what really happened that day, it wasn't 3 pairs of bibbidis. It was 8. Man. I mean, you see him preaching up here, you see the muscles in his hands. I mean, oh man, I had to at least have 8 bibbidis. But yeah, I did get spanked that day because I stole some stuff from Woolworth or something. And And, you know, I remember after I got spanked, I was feeling just so bad, so horrible. And the neat thing about my dad is he came in shortly after that, and he brought in this little tape, and he put it in, and it was a song of Ray Bolt's. It talks about, others see a shepherd boy, but God sees a king. And you know, the neat thing is, others may have seen a shepherd boy in King David, but God saw a king. And I think what my dad was trying to tell me that day is there was a lot more inside. And he didn't want to allow foolishness to remain in my heart, because if so, then he knew it may have jeopardized my future. So I'm so glad that my dad knew how to discipline me properly, even though it hurts sometimes. Another really neat thing about my dad is he would take Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and he would take me to McDonald's and teach me how to do devotions. And we would sit down, and I would say, oh, Dad, you know, tell me about Jonah, or tell me about David. And you know, and it was so neat just spending that time with my dad. And he wasn't just a good disciplinary, he was also a great discipler. And, you know, I appreciate that so much, where my dad brought peace into my life. And what that did is it helped me to not just understand my dad's love, but the Father's love, God's love in my life. So I'm so appreciative for that. And, you know, I think he did a good job. What do you think? Thank you. God bless.
Anna, come here. Your boy. He was right here. You gotta see what you produced.
Dad, it's okay. Calm down.
Well,
it's okay.
Interrupted me.
I know, but have you ever interrupted him?
Never.
We have to look for things that make for peace.
Peace? I'll tell you what, he's going to get peace. He's going to get a piece of my mind.
Dad,
when I find him.
Dad, no, he's really good. We have to look for the good in him. And not only that, if you forgive, then you'll cause the teaching moment to happen, and you can disciple him from that.
Disciple him? I better pray about this. He better get his act together, that kid.
Dad,
what's the matter with
him? Dad, it's okay. Calm down.
You sure?
Now, everything's fine.
Don't be preaching at me, Dad. Woman. Don't be preaching.
It's okay. It's okay.
Let's say thanks to Aaron and Anna.
And how true that is. God is looking for people that are peacemakers, who understand making things right, but doing it out of love, so that the seed planted towards righteousness will blossom and the result will be peace. It's getting things right. People right with God, people right with another. We need peacemakers in our society. Dads, that's your mantle. That's all of our calling. Let's receive it from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. I've asked my wife to help pray, and she's going to pray for the sisters in our church, and I'll pray for the brothers, and then we'll sing our final song together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Would you take a hold of the person's hand next to you? Let's just join as an ohana, as a family together, as we pray in closing.
Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. You are our gracious Heavenly Father. And that you make all things right. I pray for the women in this building, in our church, in New Hope, that you would direct us to be peacemakers. Help us to be the ones to build bridges, Lord, not only for our children, to the husbands, to their fathers, but Lord, that we would build a bridge for others to know you. We thank you so much for your goodness and your grace upon us and calling us into being the women of God that you created us to be. We thank you for that privilege in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray for the brothers here. I pray that the gift that you've given and bestowed upon them in the area of authority, that it'll be used to initiate peace, to make things right. No, not who's right, what's right. And draw all of us to what's right with pure hearts, not with selfish hearts, not with self-serving hearts, but God-serving hearts, for the sake of peace. Peace with God, because things are right. Lord, we ask that you would help us to recognize what makes for peace and pursue those things, because some of life's greatest blessings will be promised through peacemakers. May we be those. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Would you thank God for His grace on us?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Peacemaker by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. There's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.